It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
Go back over some scriptures we have been over in the past and really kind of look at it from a, maybe not so much a different angle, but maybe a little deeper than you did before. So let's go to the book of Romans and chapter 10. Now, for those who have been in this ministry for any time, you've heard this particular passage of scripture quite often. But I believe, you know, as the Word of God is full of revelation, continuous revelation, it's always pregnant, given new life. And so I believe this scripture today will do the same for you. So Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, let me ask you all a question, those of you that have received Jesus Christ in your life. When you receive Christ in your life, was it something that you understood mentally? Did you understand how someone or what was going on in your life when you made a decision to confess Jesus Christ as Lord? What was that like? You don't have to answer that question, but let me suggest some things to you this morning. Did it have anything to do with your reasoning? Or was there something on the inside of you that said, this is real? And you responded to what was real on the inside, not a calculation of your mind, not a reasoning that you put two and two together, not that you had studied and been abroad, went to Israel and tried to figure out the footsteps of Jesus and went to the tomb and did all of those things? Or was there something that went off in you on the inside? How many of you had an experience, hadn't gone to church most of your life, but then sometime after that, you sensed something on the inside was a little different than just going back and forth to church? There was something real, something authentic, something happened, and you, from that knowing on the inside of your heart, said an I do to Jesus. Like I don't know what just happened, but I believe in Jesus. Didn't have anything to do with calculations, did it? Had nothing to do with reasoning. It had to do with the voice, that something in your heart, and the voice of your heart said, I do. The voice of your heart said, I believe in Jesus. It was not a calculation. It was not human reasoning. It was something happened on the inside of me, and the voice of it came out. I confess what I heard down on the inside of me. In other words, I heard something, but then I heard something. I heard something, but then I heard something down here. And what I heard down here, I spoke. And the Bible says that's what constituted our salvation. Let's go on here, because if we can pick this up, then we'll understand how faith works in many ways. So it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart one believes. Everybody say that. With the heart one believes. Say that again. With the heart one believes. Say that one more time. With the heart one believes. So, without the heart, we can also say one does not believe. Is that fair? So if it says with the heart one believes, so that also means without the heart, one does not believe. So is my mind and my heart the same thing? Well, I believe it's Thessalonians. I believe. Anyway, it says whatever the scripture is. It says that I pray God would preserve you wholly, your spirit, your soul, or to prosper your spirit, your soul, and your body. So I believe we said this before that we are a tripartite being made of three parts. We are a spirit, just like God. We have a mind, a soul, an intellect, and we live in a body. But only one part of us is the believer. Only one part of us is the believer. I said only one part of us is a believer. He says, with the heart, man believes. 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 So there's a lot of times we can think we're believing, but we're actually just thinking about it. Some would say mentally ascending to it. Because if what I'm mentally ascending to doesn't cause me to move, doesn't cause me to act, then it's really not belief. It's just putting equations together. It's just human reasoning. It's just ascending to something. But until it moves me faith-wise, then it becomes true belief. So it says, with the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believes. I'm hopeful to get this to you the way it is in me. With the heart, man believes. You see, if I'm frustrated, anxious, worried, it's a clear indicator that I'm not believing with my heart. How do I know that? Because I'm reasoning with my head. I'm above ground, as it were. I'm not really down in my heart believing. I'm not believing that I've got a wealth down here. Because if I'm concerned about something, that means that my head is up here checking out my circumstances. And the fears and the anxieties I'm getting are a byproduct of what I'm looking at. I'm not looking on the inside. I'm not dwelling down here in the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. That's why I'm scared. That's why I'm worried. That's why I'm fearful. That's why I'm complaining. That's why I'm making excuses, is because I'm looking above ground. I'm not looking in here. The reason I feel powerless, the reason I feel discouragement, is because of what I'm looking at up here. Now, what I'm looking at down here in my heart, because I'll show in just a minute, down here is where I really am. But every now and then, and sometimes more often than not, we poke our heads up and look over at the existence that is above. And we begin to gasp for air because we're not meant to live up there and have life. And there's a reason why many of us miss it, and we're just simply going to church and coming back from church and going to church and coming back from church and have no real life on the inside of us, nothing that motivates us, nothing that gives us energy, because we're looking at a poverty stricken. And I'm not talking about poverty as in not having money or anything. I'm talking about in this world, relative to the kingdom, it is a poverty stricken world. It is full of lack. It's full of a lack of joy, a lack of hope, a lack of happiness, a lack of meekness, a lack of long-suffering, a lack of peace. So when I come up above air, ground, I begin to gasp, as it were, because I'm not meant to live up there. I'm meant to stay right here in the hidden man of the heart. Have you ever seen a fish? Does a fish act the same way above water that he does underwater, Joe? When he comes up out of that water and you reel him in, what does he start doing? He starts jerking, not because of the hook so much, but because he's in a different environment. His atmosphere has changed. He's come up above water. He's not meant to live above water. He's meant to live below the water, where he goes and he runs and he goes miles sometimes in the lakes and goes around and he finds food and all of that. And and he comes up out of the water and he's frantic. He's waving. He acts like, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm about to die. I'm about to die. I'm about to die. And we are like that. We're like that when we're not living from the inside out. We're not living in here. Then we are like that. We come up out of the water and we begin to gasp for air, because we're not made to live in this three-dimensional realm, because in this three-dimensional realm, we're going to gasp, because it's going to bring all types of fears. It's an environment that we're not used to. And so many Christians give a very, very poor witness to the world because we're gasping like they're gasping. We're not at peace. We're concerned about the stuff they're concerned with. We're worried like they're worried. We're dependent on this system like they're dependent on this system. We're acting like the government is our answer, like they're acting like the government is our answer. We're just gasping, as opposed to living on the inside, having a kingdom mindset, motivated by what I'm seeing on the inside, seeing the battle already won from the inside, seeing Jesus up there above my enemy with holding my enemy's head. I've already done it. I've already won. Look, I got his head in my hands. Come on up to the top of the hill. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to make it. That's the language of the people who don't have the kingdom. I want to show this to you because I really want you to get this. I'm endeavoring to live on the inside. I'm endeavoring to live from the inside out, not the outside in. So the Bible tells us again, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Now, I need you to understand, when we talk about believes unto righteousness, you know, Greg said something two Sundays ago, I guess it was two, a couple of Sundays ago, whenever he was here. And he said this, and it really settled in my spirit. And so when we think of righteousness, many times we think of it from the standpoint of right standing with God. And it does mean that. But if we limit to just right standing with God, then we miss out on a whole lot of what righteousness means. Righteousness means, now, let me come back to it. Let me give you an idea what it means here. So it says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame or be disappointed. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the name of the Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to look at a few more things here. So when we look at this word, the heart, one believes unto righteousness, we're talking about believes on the full favor of God. Like God favors us. In other words, God does favors for us. God does favors for us. He favors. So when we talk about here, it says, verse 11 says, there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all, and he says this word, is rich to all who call upon him. And so when we talk about rich, he's talking about lavish and extravagant. He's rich toward us, lavishly and extravagantly. So when we talk about our righteousness, we are believing that the one who supports us is lavish and extravagant so that we don't have to look anywhere else. So long as I'm looking out here to get my help, I'm living in poverty. It's so small comparatively to what I have in him. So all of his riches are to bear for me. The riches of his character, the riches of his supply, so that I have to learn to live here. I have to learn to live on the inside. I have to learn to get what I'm getting from the inside out. And if I do that, there will never be a down day. Dr. Price used to say this. He says, I cease from having bad days. He says, I stop having bad days. They're like, well, who is he that he can say that he don't have no more bad days? What he was saying is, I'm living from the inside now. I'm not living on the inside, on the outside. On the outside, there's plenty of opportunities for bad days. But I'm not living on the inside or on the outside anymore. I'm not judging my life by what's around me anymore. I keep my eyes on the inside now. I don't get angry anymore because anger is a byproduct of me looking out here. I don't get discouraged anymore because I keep looking on the inside. I'm not wrought up and mad at people anymore because I'm not really looking at people. I don't depend on people anymore. I don't need them to approve me and tell me I'm doing good and pat me on the back and give me all of this. I don't need that anymore because he's lavishly supplied me with his own character. Because if I need something from you, then you have a level of control over me. I'm dependent. You have become my righteousness. I'm dependent on you for favors. And if you don't come through for me, I'm hurt now. Well, you didn't do what I asked you to do. And no. No, when I'm dependent on him, I don't need you. I don't need you. I love having you around, but I'm not dependent. I'm not projecting on you. I'm not trying to get something from you. Pat me on the back. Tell me I did a good job. Tell me I'm all right. No, he tells me I'm all right. I wake up in the morning. I'm convinced of his presence. He's with me. Gone are the days of me getting upset and mad and all that. You know, they won't do this, they won't not. I'm depending on him. You do what you got to do, but I'm looking on the inside. I'm looking on the inside. So when we talk about, and we confess, and Greg, I was talking about Greg. Greg was saying that this is the righteousness is the day of God's hearing and helping. Today is the day of God's hearing and helping. Who am I going to call on? Ghostbusters? No. I'm calling on Jesus. I'm calling on help. He's lavished upon me everything for his kingdom. That's why he tells me, I will supply every need. Don't go looking and making me look bad like I don't have the ability to take care of you. I will supply all your need. You know, when you are lavished upon, when you are wealthy, as it were, when you go shopping, you think differently than someone who don't have enough. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know shopping with money is different than shopping without money? When you got some money in the bank, it's a lot different. There's a peace. You go into the shopping center with peace. Yeah, I think I have that. I think that over there. And could you tell me where the is? In other words, you're unrestrained. You're not concerned. There's a level of rest there, isn't it? But all of us, no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, there's something that money cannot buy. But the kingdom can supply. Amen. See, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. What is that saying? That's saying that that's the nature and the character of God that I now have. It's such an affront to God to not be at peace. Such an affront to him. And what it means is I stuck my head up above the water. I stuck my head up above the water and I'm gasping. And I need to get back up under the water because therein lies my true existence. I can live down here. I can live under here, boy. I can go. Just don't bring me up out of the water. And too many of us are gasping for air. We're trying to make it. And he's saying, live down here on the inside. Live down here. Learn daily. Learn how to live from the inside out. Everything we need is on the inside of us. The kingdom of God is within us. The favor of God is on us. I get my peace from God, not from you or from anyone else. I get it from God. I'm not trying to get it from you, because if I'm trying to get everything from Tim Smith, then I am projecting on him, and eventually I'm going to wear out this relationship. Because I'm asking him, I'm pleading with him to do something that he's not made to do. God is made to do that. I want you to take a inventory of your life right now and think about, who have I been dependent on? What is my source of favor? What's my source of favor? Is it that my child or my job or the color of my skin or my family, whatever it is? What's my source of favor? Because wherever it is not, listen to me. It is not endless in supply. And sometimes we go through different things in life. We think all the time that, well, maybe if I just get this, or maybe if I just, you know, we're revealing what we have confidence in. If I can just get this, if my children can just do well, if I can just get this job, if I can just do, and all we're saying is that my favor comes from these things on the outside. And it doesn't. The time of God's hearing, as Greg would say, the time of God's hearing and helping is on the inside of us. We got to ask down here from the heart. And what the heart hears from the King of our hearts, that's what we say out of our mouth. When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from everything. Save from everything. If I got a need, I'm going to hear him say it's taken care of. And then I'm going to speak it out of my mouth. If I need healing, I'm going to hear him say, well, I got that for you too. And I'm going to hear him say it on here. Not up here. I'm going to hear him say it right here. And then I'm going to say what he said, what I heard him say. So there's a lot of things we do believe in the heart. We believe and we say it. I'm scared. I'm about to die. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And we preach that like it's gospel. We say it and we say it and say it. And we're producing from our heart, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. The Bible says, guard with all diligence your heart, for out of your heart comes out the issues of our life. And so many times I can tell quickly what their heart is based upon what they're saying. What you say, if you're talking about this and angry about that and mad about this and anxious about that, and you're telling me that this is what's going on in your heart, that's your world, that's what you've been looking at. The boogeyman. And he's given us a principle. He said, out of our heart, and let me just read this again so that we can see it very clearly here. And it says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. Now, verse 11, I love that. Listen, to put to shame, what do you think to put to shame means? Whoever believes on him, whoever puts their confidence in him. How many have ever been put their confidence in someone and you were put to shame? You were disappointed. That's what that means. You put your confidence in someone and you were disappointed. Am I the only one? I mean, this is going to be good. Oh, we're going to make it. Everything going to be all right because I got this, or they're with me. Only to realize, doggone, they're limited. I thought they were going to make me happy all the days of my life. And we find out that they don't have the capacity to do that. Sometimes we could even get married thinking, all I need to do is get married. You did, didn't you? You got married and you projected that need, thinking that that's going to be my righteousness. That will be my favor. Only to find out that that person couldn't do it. That's all right. They weren't meant to do it. My wife is so very happy that I am not depending on her for my happiness. I don't say that she doesn't make me happy, because she does. But I'm not pulling and stretching and trying and mad at her and upset with her. And, you Justin, and you ought to do. And you're the, no, she's not made to do that. She's not my all in all. She's not omniscient. She's not omnipotent. She's not all powerful. Well, she might be all powerful. she may have that. No, she's not all of that, and it's not fair for me to project her that need on her. I'm better for her when I'm dependent on him. Yeah. I'm better for her when I don't need her to be my source. When I don't need her to encourage me, baby, man, how'd I do? I do all right. Because she don't really tell me that was good. You know, every now and then she might scratch out, that was all right today, George. So many years ago, I got beyond that. I had to get a little over. Oh, I got my mom, though. Now, moms now, there's never been a bad message. Never. Even when they're bad, they're not bad. It was, oh, that was George. That was good. I like, thank you, Mom. Y'all ever seen the commercial where the guy, he's a secret agent or something, and he's fighting up on the roof of the helicopter comes, and he's talking to his mom. His mama said, hey, son. And he won't, you know, he's talking to it, kicking and fighting and all that. And he's still talking to her, and she says, what's the password again? What's my password? I feel like that sometimes. But it's not fair. I don't care if it's your mother. I don't care if it's another individual. It's not fair to them to treat them as though they can meet your needs, that they are your righteousness. How many of you had children? And you thought, man, if I ever have children, that's going to be my, Glory, yes, we're going to. And you begin to realize that they're not our salvation. We begin to realize they don't meet our every need. Then we have to look down on the inside. From whence cometh my what? Our help cometh from the Lord, right? Our help comes from the Lord. I appreciate what you say. I appreciate what you said, but I'm still looking down on the inside. My wealth is down here. And the more we get that, the more we begin to realize that I can't get courage from others. I get it from looking down on the inside. You know, David was one. He came back from battle, came back from fighting, and he and his men, and while he was gone, his wives and belongings, his children, all got taken by the enemy at Ziklag, and his own men came and they wanted to stone him and get rid of him because he had, you know, you out here fighting, and our children, they're gone now. And the Bible says David was feeling real bad, but then he said David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he heard the Lord said, go, David, and recover everything that they took from you. Where did he get that from? From his men? No. His men didn't come up and know him and say, hey, come on, man, you know you're our leader, and we're going to go, let's go take him. Let's go get him. No, they were ready to get rid of David. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. He looked down on the inside. And God says, you're all right. And go and recover all. And he got himself up. And he was bold at this point. Not because of anything that was going on the outside, but what was going on the inside. And David wasn't even born to God. He wasn't even born again. So he was using the inspiration of the Spirit of God upon him. And he was listening to that voice, and he gained courage, and he went forward, and he said, now I'm going, and we're going, and we're going to take everything, not because of I looked at and judged the circumstances, and looked at, see, do we have enough, and let's count up everything, make sure we got this, and this, and this, and do we have enough men, let's go scout them out and find out what they've got. No, he said, God said, go and recover everything. Reasoning ends where the voice of God begins. We don't need to reason anymore. And the reason I say that, because the mind will immediately start calculating. How many of you know that my mind just automatically starts putting them together? 2 plus 2, 10 plus 10. You look at a situation, automatically it starts. It is a mega computer. It is the original AI, doesn't it? It begins to calculate. But that doesn't mean the calculations are right, even though they may seem right. I got to look down here on the inside. I got to look down here and say, stop all of that. What is it, God? I need a little time with you. I got to determine on the inside what I need to do. What is it? What do you want me to do? And it may sound, it may look ridiculous. But when you look down here on the inside, that's where faith comes up. When I seen it and I heard it, or as some would say, I synced it. Yeah, don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. For some of y'all that don't know, synced it means see it. Some people, I ain't gonna call out no names here, but some of them are like, "Sinked it." But everybody looked like me knew exactly what I was saying. But when we see it on the inside, that's what we're developing. That's what we're developing. What did God tell Joshua? He said, Joshua, meditate upon these things day and night. Meditate on them. Mutter them. Say them over and over again. Back and forth, front and back. Up and down. So that you may what? So that you may do it. And so that you may prosper. How many of us take the time to just ponder the Word of God? Mutter the Word of God. If you're going to stay up all night muttering and pondering and speaking His Word. All night long. I'm trying to keep myself in a quiet space. I'm trying to keep myself in a gentle space. I'm trying to make sure that my spirit stays calm. So I meditate on it all night long. I am dead and my life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then shall I appear with him in glory. I am dead and my life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then will I appear with him in glory. I am dead. 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 Where? Down here. But I'm alive unto God. I'm trying to live from the inside out. I'm trying to live from the hidden man of the heart that is now inspired by the Spirit of God. I saw something even as I was meditating last night. We're going to do it here in just a little bit. But I saw something, and I said, because God gives previews if you stay down there long enough. And he'll give you a little preview of what the day might look like, what to anticipate. What might be coming your way that day? And that's why he gives us speaking in a different language sometimes, because we can't interpret well what our spirit is. But the Bible says when we pray in a heavenly language in other tongues, our spirit prays. That means it's giving voice to what's going on the inside of us. So I just said, God, what do you want to do in this service today? Just let me know. Give me an idea. What are you trying to do? What is it? What is it down here? What is it? Not up here, but what is it you want to do here? Because I'm getting done with looking on the out on the outside. I'm getting done with gasping for air, you know? Man, it's hard trying to get your last little breath. I'm done with those things that cause a breakdown on the inside. Man, I'm done with fear. I'm done with it. I done sent a notice out on it. I got a picture of it hanging on the wall of my spirit, decapitated. Yeah, he used to live, but he don't exist no more. What is it that you need to decapitate down here on the inside in your spirit? Is it anger? Is it discouragement? Because when we're down here in the spirit realm, God will take care of that. He's like, I got that. I'm going to take care of that. Don't you back away. Don't you retreat. 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 No, no. Advance, advance, advance. So let me show you one more last scripture, and then are you getting something out of this today? Let me look at one verse 13, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be lavished upon." They're going to receive the favor of God. And some would say, well, Pastor, do you mean that God really wants to take care of everything in our lives? Because, you know, I just strongly believe that God, he helps those who help themselves. And it can sound really, that can sound really divine. God, he helps those who help themselves. Well, let me see if you can find that in scripture somewhere. Find it. Go ahead. Right now, go ahead and find it. Bring it up here to the front. You can't find it. He is absolutely our all. Oh, you may pat yourself on the back. Well, I did some of it. No, he's absolute. He wants you all, and he wants to do it all. It's because y'all get offended if I keep on saying your. Let me say our. It's our pride, because we think we have something to do with it. We think I'm going to do. No. I'm trying to get this dude out of the way. Because this dude right here gets me in a whole lot of trouble. I'm trying to live here on the inside. I ain't trying to do nothing for George Logan. I'm trying to get God to do everything. I'm going to the grocery store with God and say, I want that and that and that and that and that and that. And I am not going to pull my pocketbook out for none of it. You understand what I'm saying, right? I'm saying that God wants to meet every need so that we don't have to depend on anyone else. Let's look at this last part here. 1 Corinthians, the time of God's hearing and doing is when? Now? Amen. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, boy, You know, when you start living on the inside, it gives you motivation. It energizes you. You know, you just wake up and you sing more chirpier. You know, you're not down anymore. You want to praise God differently. Everything because you're looking on the inside. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. I said, therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't get discouraged. I got to remind myself of that. I don't. Discouragement is not my portion. Discouragement is not my lot. I don't want to go around talking discouragement. Oh, but don't we all, just all need to just talk about and have our own little pity party and you know, and you scratch my back, I scratch yours, kind of, we just want to just pity. Discouraged. And that doesn't mean that we're not comfort to people who are going through difficult times, because we should be, because we are not discouraged. Because we are looking on the inside. I don't want to send out a message that you can't come for help, because if you need it, let the God in us help you. Let the God in us bring you encouragement. Let the God in us speak to you, speak life to you, cause boldness to come out of you. We do not lose heart. Say, I do not lose heart. In other words, I'm not going to be discouraged. Discouragement simply means to take courage out of me. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to allow discouragement to come out of me. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How is it being renewed day by day? Because it keeps looking down on the inside. Because it keeps getting encouragement from the Word of God. Because it keeps sowing to the Spirit so it can reap from the Spirit. Not to the flesh so that it will reap from the flesh. It sows to the Spirit. Sows to the Spirit. So just get some time and spend time in the Word of God, and maybe reduce your Netflix marathon down just a little bit now, and get some Word in you. Get some Word in us. Look at something different. Because I'm not going to lose heart. That's a locator. If I'm starting to lose heart, if I'm starting to get discouraged, then guess what? I'm looking. I'm up above the water. And I'm looking, man, I tell you what, it's terrible up here, man. I can't look. Oh. You know, you dig a little dive, a little deeper with him. So just know that locator for me is discouragement. It locates that I'm up above the water and I'm looking at circumstances. Someone said it like this, and I thought it was just so powerful. We're not in circumstances. We're in Christ. We're not in circumstances. I said, we're not in circumstances. We're in Christ. And if I were in circumstances, then I would have reason for fear. I'd have reason for disappointment. I have reason for anger. I have reason for trying to get you back and you trying to get me back. I have reason to project a need off on you, and when you don't meet that need, then I'm really mad at you because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. But when I'm in Christ, that's all I need is being in him. The Bible says deep calleth unto deep. You got to be in the deep to get called deeper. Deep calleth unto deep. We're now in Christ Jesus. Let's get rid of anything that we think makes us right outside of Christ. Anything that we think is going to bring favor upon us outside of Christ. We were somewhere recently, and the person was sharing with us something that took place in a very limited time. They needed something, and what they needed, it took some people signing off on it for it to happen. And it was a deadline within a week's time. This had to be done. So some other people went to bat for them, and they got what this family needed in a really short window of time that could not have been done without some favor. And so someone went to bat for them, were able to get this, if I'm not going to share it because it would reveal more than I'd want to reveal, but they went, and I thought about it in light of favor. The Bible says God's favor surrounds us like a shield. Now the favor that they received, you could call it from God. It could have been, but it also was that they knew this person who knew somebody who knew somebody. And that somebody that they knew, the last somebody that they knew, was able to kick it into high gear, get it done in a really short window of time. So what am I saying? I know somebody who knows everybody. I said, I know someone who knows everyone. I know someone who can speak to someone in the midnight hours. I know someone who can do things that nobody else can do, can talk to like no one else can, and he is for me, he is for you, he is for us. So never limit him by thinking that he's not for you and for us and for his body. He is. He wants you well. He wants you emotionally strong. So here's what I heard. Here's what I heard as I was down on the inside. And I said, God, what would you have me to do today? Anything. What is it? And the one thing that kind of really spoke was, and I see it so often, is just a lack of boldness. A lack of boldness. And the lack of boldness is all that is looking and being in the circumstances as opposed to looking down on the inside. And when we can look down on the inside and see in on the inside, if whatever was causing us not to have boldness is now defeated, then it will be replaced with boldness. God's love, and when we look at his love on the inside, it replaces boldness, the lack of boldness. When we look at his love, it replaces discouragement and fear. And that's what I heard this morning. So if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you today. If you are lacking boldness, like to go up there like you belong, to speak to someone like you belong to be there, to ask for something like somebody has already gone before you and prepared the way. If that's you, I want you to come up here this morning. Boldness, 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 boldness. I'm going to share a story with you. It's not original to me, but it's a really good story. And so I want you to locate that man on the inside. And I did this very same thing just recently. And I did it a few times so I could just resonate in me, and then I just began to meditate on it. But without saying any words whatsoever, I don't want you to say any words, but I want your spirit to say words, but it won't come out of your mouth. I don't want you to say anything out of your mouth. I just want you to simply see your spirit and looking on the inside and see that your real you seeing something. Here's what you're going to see. Okay, so close your eyes and go with me. And you all in the congregation, you can do so as well. It might help you all out. I know y'all super bold and all, but you probably don't need this, but some of us do. So imagine right now that you're facing your biggest fear. Might be an individual, might be a circumstance, whatever it might be. But you're facing this, and it is so big. It is like a military force, huge, humongous. And it's sitting up there on top of the hill, and it's just mocking you, telling you to stay in your place. Don't get up. Don't you move forward. Don't do anything. Just stay there paralyzed. Or retreat, go backwards. Don't face it. Get away. Run. Don't deal with it. Go. Pretend it's not there. But you see it. And now you've made a decision. You have made a resolve that you're going to charge up that hill. You don't care if it's for your life now. You've made the decision. You're not going to run back. You're not going to retreat. You're going to go up that hill, and you're going to attack your enemy. And if you die doing it, you're just going to die doing it. But in your heart, you've made a resolve. I'm going up the hill. Now, everything else, everything, every other contemplation is gone now because you've made the decision. And now while you're there, you look up at that hill and you see Jesus. And he's sitting about 18 inches above your enemy. And he kind of winks at you. And he says, "I've got him." And you see him with his big sword, and he's got that enemy by the top of his hair, and he's pulling his hair up, and he's about to cut and slice off his head, the head of your enemy, and show it and hang it up. The enemy doesn't even know he's there. But you see him, and he winks at you, and he gives you a thumbs up. And he says, "Because you have resolved to come on up, I've already done the work." And now, on the inside of you, without saying words, I want you to yell a belly war, a warrior cry. I mean, real loud, not with words, but on the inside, you yes! Do you see it? Do you see it? You charged up that hill because someone has already gone before you. Someone's already attacked the enemy because you resolved you were not going to go back. And if this is going to be the end, it's just going to be the end. But I saw my Savior go before me, and he opened up my eyes and he winked at me. Yes. And said, "It is well. It is done in Jesus' name." Now just hold up your hands like this. Hold it up your arms, your hands like this, just like that. And now what you did before, I want you to let it out. And you all can do it too. Let's get around them and do it. I want you to let out a big belly roar this morning. A big belly, yeah! Yes! 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 That's right. That's what we're talking about. So that our worship now is demonstrative because we've seen something down on the inside. We've seen it happen on the inside. And now we see that the enemy is defeated for real. Not just a biblical sin. I'm not just saying it. I see it. He's done now. He's out of the way, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Did y'all see it? Did you see it? I said, did you see it? Did you run up that mountain? Did you take the land? Now keep that image. Keep that image. Look down there all the time. In the middle of the day, in the morning, when you're facing something that you want to, when you used to just back away and not say it, not go there, not speak it, not ever, whatever it might be, and now you look up there and it's defeated. It's done. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
That's how we begin to live from the inside out. God has given us an imagination to use for him. When you use, the enemy tries to cloud out our imagination. He tries to cloud it. But when we form imagination based upon his word, he will never leave me nor forsake me. I see that. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, yeah. He will never leave me, never forsake me. He's right there with me. We're going up this hill. Yes, sir. We're going up there. We're going to take the land. And then something just gets on the inside of you. A lion's roar. I sent something to one of my sons just recently, and I was thinking about the lion's roar. And one of the things the lion does in his roar, the roar is to declare his identity, that I am the baddest dude around. It's got other reasons, but one of those reasons, I'm paraphrasing, but one of them is just, yeah. I'm the baddest dude around. And we explained that in worship. Not just worship here. You don't have to wait here. Man, you do it all the time. All the time worshiping him. Just going up there and people look at you in your car and you're like, what's he doing? And you just look over there and say, "Rawr!" Hey, unless we get there. Unless we get to that place. Where I'm so concerned with what he thinks about me than I am what anyone else thinks about me, then we never get where he wants us to go. Now I'm personally done with what I think other people think about me. That's too many people to keep up with, man. I'm like, doggone, I'm trying to keep up with that. What that one's thinking about me, and I done got mixed up with if it's that one thinking out about me or was it that one thinking out. I'm done with that. I'm done with trying to figure out what all the people are thinking about me. And not realizing they're probably not thinking about me. That's my own paranoia. They're not thinking about me. They're thinking about all their problems. But now he's thinking about me all the time. I think we used the word back here one time. He is, what's the word? When you're conspiring to do someone good, we said it a while back. What is it? Yeah. Pornoia. That someone is conspiring to do me good. Someone is conspiring. Surely goodness and mercy is following me. Oh, yes, indeed. It's following me. Oh, where am I going? Surely goodness and mercy is following me. Overcoming me, overtaking me. Amen? Everyone stand to your feet. That's all I got for you. That's all I got. Could you play that one more time? Ancient of Days.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.